This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
James Ihedebo, Super Bowl champ, Stanford route, NFL cornerback, one of the fastest to do it. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with me in the loop. Sports Radio 610, I'm Landry Locker, 23 days away from training camp. Houston Texans will be on the field in 23 days, 69 days from now. Season opener against the New Orleans Saints. I want John McClain to play handicap. Give me the percentage chance that the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football upset the New Orleans Saints week one.
10%.
Could I interest you in a stat, John McClain? I know you like stats.
I love stats.
The New Orleans Saints, I don't know what to make of this. We talked about this yesterday, me and James Ihedebo. The New Orleans Saints, with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, have lost their last five season openers.
To Tampa last year.
With Fitzmagic. Last time they won a season opener, Chip Kelly was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I'd like to see that stat continue, but them playing at home on Monday night, how many of those have been primetime at home? It's just magical in the Superdome.
There's a lot of liquor going.
That's right. Yeah. They've had a chance. Most cities have a chance to get drunk all day. They got a chance to get drunk all weekend.
and every single day out there in New Orleans.
It's going to be wild.
Stanford, what are the chances the Texans can upset the Saints? I got a feeling you might be less than 10%.
I'll probably go with about 35-40%.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see you.
Because, I mean, it's the New Orleans Saints. Like, they're great at home. We all know that. Drew Brees, surefire Hall of Famer. But the Houston Texans still have pass rush. And what does Drew Brees struggle with? Pass rush. Drew Brees, as great of a quarterback as he is, because he's from Austin, Texas. But Drew Brees does have his moments where he gets interception happy. His ball will sail, and turnovers can change the game.
James Ihedebo, give me a percentage.
I'm going with, you know, maybe 50%.
Okay. Coin toss.
I like the coin toss because, you know, on Stan's point in terms of the pass rush, what I do like, it's a season opener. Anything can happen.
Yes.
You know, offenses, they're rusty. There's schemes that you're still trying to learn. There's players that you're still trying to figure out who does what well. And at the end of the day, anything can happen. An interception, a fumbled punt, that can change the entire game. So I like this Texans' chances of starting the season off right. And imagine what this would mean for the city and for Bill O'Brien in terms of an impact win against an organization like that on a season opener.
I picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, so that's why I said that. Also, last year when Jadeveon Clowney spent his offseason rehabbing, he needed about three games to get going. And so I've never seen a player sit out who came in and made a big impact the first game. And he'll have an extra day to get ready, and he'll still be good. But Brees is so good, especially at home. I think the defensive backs are still going to be adjusting here to each other, to the system, and so I think it's going to be high scoring, exciting. With Brees and Watson, it'd be great for TV.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, Stanford route, James Ihedebo here on In the Loop. Rockets do sign Austin Rivers to a two-year minimum deal. Yesterday, there were some theories being thrown out there that this was a sign that there was no remorse about players coming here to play in the system. John McClain, we'll go around the room. Do you buy that Austin Rivers signing with the Rockets or re-signing with the Rockets is some sort of sign that maybe players aren't reluctant to come to Houston to play with James Harden and Chris Paul?
I'm not using Austin Rivers as an example, but I think if players thought, if you had the money and players, I think, would look forward to playing with Harden and Paul. They know these guys. They know guys in a way that we, the media and the fans, don't. And I think that most guys would relish that opportunity.
I don't think that this Austin Rivers signing is a indication of any sort. I think that it all depends on the type of player. I think that if it's an upper echelon, top-notch type of player who does not want to just sit in the corner and just jack up threes, I don't think he's going to want to come to Houston. I think if he's a guy who's a catch-and-shoot type, then yeah, you know what? He wouldn't mind playing with Harden because he's going to get a lot of open looks on the jump shot. But I think it ultimately just going to depend on the type of player and the mentality.
You know, I would say that it really depends on it. If we start getting guys that will take less money to come to Houston and have an opportunity to win a championship. If you're looking at Austin Rivers, I mean, this is a guy that averages 8 points and plays 28 minutes, you know, to assist. He's really a role player. I mean, it's like, how many other options did he really have to sign with?
Yes.
Where, you know, Houston was probably the best one for him in terms of the longevity and continuing to play in the NBA. So, you know, I look at this as, you know, a toss-up.
He was almost out of the league a few years ago. I just don't look at Austin Rivers and throw a parade and say, see, told you so.
Yeah, but got paid by his daddy.
To each his own.
Man, why you got to get personal, Stanford?
That'd be nice.
No, he did.
Yeah, man. It's like that.
Who was the GM of the Los Angeles Clippers? Man, who was the GM of the Los Angeles Clippers a couple years ago?
Man.
It was it not Doc Rivers? He got paid by his dad.
You could have said, daddy,
son.
Though. You could have just said dad. I mean, damn, the guy was in the NBA before putting the Y at the end. It adds a whole new element there, Stan.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
You could have said his dad. Damn, but you said daddy. You took it to a whole nother level.
Golden State Warriors, I want to get y'all's take on this. The ownership came out and said that Kevin Durant, who has gone to Brooklyn, he's going to rehab this year, then he's going to join Kyrie Irving. They're going to not retire his jersey, but nobody that goes to Golden State will wear the number 35, which Kevin Durant wore when he was there. He only played 256 games there, combined regular season and postseason. A lot of people were up in arms about this, but I want to interest you in a stat real quick before we get into this. Clyde Drexler only played 14 more games for the Houston Rockets, and his jersey's in the rafters out there at the Toyota Center. He also won one less championship. So let's put some perspective there before we bring out the pitchforks and talk about Kevin Durant's jersey not being retired. John McClain, should Kevin Durant's jersey eventually be retired and not worn by anybody else that goes to Golden State?
Well, first of all, on Clyde. Clyde's an icon in Houston. He was a great high school player. He went to U of H. He was a great player at U of H. So it's not like he came here from another state and did that.
It's fair.
I think it had a lot to do
lifetime
with his status, yes. And when I heard that about Durant, you don't hear owners say that. They'll retire something in a ceremony, but for him to say nobody would else wear the jersey, it surprised me because generally I think that's great. If he wants to do it, great for Durant, but it still surprised me because you don't see guys generally have that happen.
Stanford?
I got one quote that I'm going to say in front of all you guys.
Thank you.
They were going against the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. Patrick Beverley was getting up in Kevin Durant's muck, kind of making things very difficult on him. Here we go. They lose a 31-point lead, blow the lead, lose the game. Kevin Durant is being interviewed by the media. What does Kevin Durant tell the media when they start really getting under his skin? What does he tell them?
I'm Kevin Durant.
He said, you know who I am.
You know who I am.
And then he looks the other direction at the other reporter. He said, y'all know who I am. And then 7 hours later, drops 38 on him. Kevin Durant is a monster. Did he play for the Golden State Warriors for 8, 9, 10 years? No, he didn't. But let's think of it like this. If he would have played for 9, 10 years and only won two titles, being a two-time NBA Finals MVP, they probably would do what? Retire his jersey. So just because he did it in 3 years, what a lot of people would take 9, 10 years to do, I don't think that you should hold that against him because he didn't do it for a longevity. I mean, he's just efficient. I mean, and isn't that what he is on the court?
Saying nobody's going to wear his jersey, I think that means after his career's over, they're going to retire his jersey.
Yeah. Frankly, I couldn't imagine someone else, you know, stepping on the court wearing a 35 Kevin Durant jersey that's not on the Golden State Warriors.
Why would you want to?
It wouldn't look right.
Yeah.
But you look at his impact. I mean, Stan, like you said, this guy came 3 years ago to the team, two-time MVP, you know, two-time champion. The impact that he's had on the organization, on the city,
he shifted
such a
the
short
NBA.
Period of time.
He shifted the NBA
completely.
He did.
So it's rightfully so. I mean, the shoes are too big to walk in them after that.
Now, once again, and to James's point, is this a little bit of PR Is this a little bit of that? Yeah, I'll go ahead and
give you
that.
Yeah, you made him rupture his Achilles.
Yes, exactly. So obviously they want to go ahead and try to, you know, put off the right message to all the other players that, you know what, we didn't mismanage his injury and we're all for him, and all the talk about there being the turmoil and a lot of the tension going on within the team, we want to show that we're all for Kevin. So is there a little bit of that? Yes, it is. But if you go and just look at Kevin Durant on the court, he is a monster. And like I said, if he played there 9-10 years, would they have retired his jersey? They probably would. Do we think they're going to retire Clay? Do we think they're going to retire Steph's jersey? Absolutely. So I don't think that this is that much. I don't take this as a big deal.
And Draymond.
Simply,
they got to retire his too.
So think about it. Let's say Steph goes and never wins another title. He's a 3-time NBA Finals champion, never won an NBA Finals MVP, but he's a 2-time NBA MVP. Klay Thompson would be a 3-time NBA Finals champion. Draymond would be a 3-time NBA Finals champion. So they would retire their jerseys. Why not retire KD's?
Durant had more of a hand in the championships than they did, honestly.
Exactly. That's why I don't see any problem with them retiring his jersey.
Nine, by the way, the stat that I like the best in the NBA Finals since 2015, the Warriors with Kevin Durant when he plays in Finals games, 9-1. Without him, 8-10. 8-10. Ooh, 8-10, Stanford.
That's all let that sit for a little bit. Retire that jersey.
Let that sit a little bit. Sad moment in baseball yesterday. Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, he died. The team announced he was 27. They found him in a hotel room. No foul play suspected. They canceled the game yesterday or postponed it with the Rangers out there in Arlington. Man, when you start seeing people dying, it raises the eyebrows enough when they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. But 27 years old. I know you've been around for a while, John McClain. This stuff like this is just it's really heartbreaking. It gives perspective to the games that we watch, the games we follow, the games we cover.
I immediately thought of Daryl Kyle, the Astros pitcher who died in a hotel room the same way, and how impactful it was on this team and the families and the players. And it's always sad when anybody so young dies. And I hope he just had a heart attack.
Yeah, as opposed to, like, you know, suicide or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stanford, stuff like this, man, it's always sad when you see, you know, athletes, especially active young men, pass away.
Yeah, it really just puts things in perspective that obviously we all play these games that we know and love ever since grade school, high school, whatever you want to call it. And I think that there's so much of a greater aspect that, you know what, at the end of the day, you leave the baseball diamond, the football field, the basketball court, whatever, we're still human. And, you know, we all have things that go on in our lives. Sometimes we leave this life earlier than expected. And I think that it just goes to show that we got to honor everybody as much as we can while they're here. We got to appreciate everybody as much as we can while they're here, because it really is a true statement.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
I'm going to hold you to that next time you try to come at me. James E. Hedebo, heartbreaking stuff, huh?
It is very unfortunate to see this. You know, one thing that jumps out to me is, you know, his impact while he was here. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, is playing in major leagues. He's, you know, impacted his family, his friends, his community, you know, the Angels community as well. And to see him leave 27 years old, I mean, he had his whole life in front of him, which shows us all life is short. You know, what are you doing with your time here on this earth? So, you know, condolences to him, his family, as well as the team and organization.
As far as baseball itself, it goes on. The Houston Astros, they're going to host the Rockies tonight. We are 30 days out from the MLB trade deadline. When you turn on the Astros, usually when they're at the juice box, you see the NFL Hall of Famer John McClain sitting there in those nice seats he's been known to sit in. John McClain, as a loyal Astros fan, what pitcher do you want Jeff Luhnow to make a move for?
I said for a while that I would love to see him get Max Scherzer, but he's been on fire since he broke his nose. 4 wins in a row, 4 games with double-digit strikeouts. Nationals are a game over 500 for the first time since early in the season when they were 9-8. So they're going to make a run at a wild card. And whoever it is, it's got to be a number two who can come here and be a number three. I don't think they can win a World Series with their current staff the way it is. That's why. And their minor leagues are loaded. And so I'm confident Jeff Luhnow is going to make a move for another starter.
How fun is it to watch Yordan Alvarez
I was fortunate. Carol and I came back in town Sunday, and my buddy Joe Sutton offered us his seats on the second row there. And I, one reason I like sitting there all the time is you can watch the pitches break. And with Gerrit Cole, I told my wife, close your eyes and listen carefully, and you can hear the ball whizzing right as it gets to make the pop into catcher Max Stassi's mitt. And was she closed her eyes and she couldn't hear it, but I could because Cole was throwing 95 to 98. And then when Josh James came in and struck out three, man, oh, man, as big as he is, that's the first time I'd sat down there and watched him. And then it reminded me, if Josh James is that intimidating throwing triple digits, what must it have been like for the 6'8" James Rodney Richard, who was a lot bigger and stouter than Randy Johnson? And back then they didn't talk about velocity, but J.R. Richard, he'd have hit triple digits. How intimidating that must have been.
Gerrit Cole the other night, 108th pitch, broke 100.
He pitched a great game, and I'm glad they held on to win it. I'm glad he's going to the All-Star game. Three Astros pitchers going to the All-Star game, and they deserve it.
Verlander, Presley, and Gerrit Cole. I'm disappointed that Chirinos didn't sneak in there. I thought that would have been a great story for a 35-year-old to make his first All-Star game. That was really what I was really, really pulling for. But he came up a little bit short.
I'm still trying to figure why the Rangers got rid of him. He had 18 home runs last year.
I don't know. I have yet to find out. I guess
they don't have a young guy they're ready to bring up where they go, wow, this is our catcher of the future.
Glad they didn't know. Stanford Brout, you played a lot of sports. Did you ever play baseball?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Arguably my best sport growing up.
What, center field?
Center field, shortstop, second base.
Okay, just making
sure. It's impossible to throw me out going to second.
Well, I would imagine.
I bet you could stretch some doubles into triples.
Well, he can't.
Oh, yeah, I stretched doubles into. First of all, I had an exquisite batting average.
Runs like Mays, hits like Bleep. Mays, hits like Bleep.
No,
you know the movie I'm talking about,
Landry.
McClain.
Let me explain something to you, Landry.
Did you have to do push-ups every time you hit a pop-up?
No, I didn't, but I had to do. I was grounded every time I struck out. I would go seasons without getting a strikeout. I'm putting the
grounded.
Ball. I'm,
so
I'm putting
the coach
ball into play.
Okay, you stopped the coach pitch. You should have tried to get to kid pitch. We could have seen something happen.
That's pretty good motivation.
Landry, baseball arguably was my best sport. I stopped playing.
So why did you stop?
Because my father treated it so much like a job, I started rebelling against it. And when I finally got to high school and you got to actually make the team, I just simply forgot that we had tryouts that day.
You ever wonder what would happen if you devoted as much time to baseball as football?
Every time I see those contracts, I wonder. Every time, I wonder. Yes. All in all, football was where my heart truly was. That was my first love. But yes, baseball, I played that growing up. Loved it. But, you know, sometimes your parents, they push you so much into something, you start to rebel against it.
Stanford, what was your second love? If that was your first love, what's your second love? Because you're still living the good life right now. What was your second love?
The sport of football still is my first love. Track and baseball were a close second.
Okay. You play any baseball?
Nope, wasn't allowed to. It's crazy.
You were allowed to play football but not baseball?
I was allowed to play football. I was allowed to play lacrosse. I played everything.
Were you allowed to do MMA fighting too, but no tennis?
For whatever reason, I wanted to play football, and I remember being young and bringing, you know, my parents the paperwork to sign me up and all that, and they're just like, nah. And it's probably because I was doing so much in terms of sports already. That's enough on your plate. Like, you don't need anything else.
Okay. Stanford, as a former track star, what do you think about Matthew Bowling?
Oh, my goodness. I remember the first time that I heard about him was at the TSU relays where he blew everybody out of the water and then ran 10-2 and 20.5 in Houston in
mid-March. Real quick, tell the people who don't know who you're talking about.
Matthew Bowling, sprinter out of Houston Straight Jesuit. Yeah. When you see him walk
Freak
into a room,
nature.
You definitely will not expect what you're about to see when he walks into a room just given.
Hit a RC. Good Lord.
You know what I'm saying. You guys know what I'm saying.
He's got deceptive speed, okay?
But he is a phenomenal athlete, good in the 100, the 200. After being primarily a quarter runner his first 3 years in high school, going into the 1-2 this year, when he ran 10-2 and 20.5 in mid-March out there at TSU Relays,
in 75 degree weather, I knew then he was going to be special, because in Texas, it's just going to get warmer. The times are going to get better. And the way he flies by everybody after about 50 meters and that 100 is it's phenomenal.
Do you remember Jeremy Warner?
Yes, I ran against Jeremy Warner.
Really? Yes, Baylor, Sikkim.
Lamar High School wore the shades.
I know Jeremy Warner personally.
He's from the area. TC.
I know exactly where Jeremy Warner went to high school.
Did he used to smoke you?
No, actually, I beat him.
Okay, there we go.
Next.
There we go. I'm just asking.
Next.
John McClain, what's coming up in the Chronicle?
Well, I've got a podcast right now, Texas Sports Nation. I got something we just talked about, five players coming off the bench need to contribute, and I'll have a thing on the AFC South after the off-season programs. Thank you, guys. It's been an honor. James.
Thank you.
Stanford's been an honor. Landry. It's Ben.
Yeah. I hear that.
Thank you, guys.
John. Appreciate you, John.
Whatever, John. You better not lose to a white boy, Stanford. Don't sit here and brag about that.
Hold on. I've been beat by a Caucasian person before. Yes, I have. I have been beat, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
All right. Stanford.
Who beat
route
you?
Right there.
What white guy beat you?
Yeah, seriously. What white guy beat you?
Basically, we had the 2001 version of Matthew Boland back when I was in high school. A guy named Trey Griffin. He was about maybe 5'9", rocked up from Lockhart, Texas. And he went 2 years in a row, beat everybody in the 100-meter dash at Texas Relays. Okay. And then won state my senior year back in 2001.
Your dad struck you out. Your dad should have grounded your ass for that. If he's grounding you for striking out, he should have grounded you for losing to the white boy.
Because Trey Griffin. Nice. Hold on, Landry. Trey Griffin beat me in the 100-meter dash, which was not my best event, because then I turned around and was the third fastest in the country in the 200.
Yeah, well, that's Hoop Dreams with Stanford Route. We'll have plenty more of that. Stanford Route, John McClain, thanks for joining us. James Ahedebo. These two guys are going to remain. We're going to talk to two former NFL defensive backs, 23 days away from training camp. AFC South, a lot of questions to be asked. We're going to answer them all next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.